it, so we always on go. Sleep with shoes on, feet stay on the floor. Got a team that won't muscle, giving less than an option. All gas with no brakes, so it ain't no stopping. Strategy, steady plotting, they drawing the prints. In fact, they group don't include a fence. Ain't no limit, ain't no cap, so we stay on the grind. Work ethic from 9-9, born destined to shine. For the kingdom, we gon' grind, we staking it in. Fading our line, cast it out, rhythm in. Let's repent of our sin, cause the kingdom is near. Let's repent of our sin, cause the kingdom is here. Let's repent of our sin, cause the kingdom is near. Let's repent of our sin, cause the kingdom is here. Yeah.
Every time I come in the living room, y'all in the living room talking about watching some Naruto. How about Naruto? Then about to watch the Kingdom Hour show. 7 and 8, Facebook Live, YouTube, IG, and
Pine. Stand tall, never fall, we gon' make it for so. Riches burn, lessons learned, I'ma gon' let you know. When my plate hit the floor, and my direction is blurry, I need an hour of power, cause it just do something to me. Let the top.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody, man? This is your man, J-Dab, Pastor J. We are back once again on the Kingdom Hour show. We want to take this time to welcome you all. Man, don't forget to go ahead and tell a friend to invite a friend. Go ahead and start hitting that tag button, man, one time. Tonight we have a very interesting show. I'm personally excited about it. I'm trying to compose myself right now, but I know it's going to go down. I know it's going down, man. Hey, man, once again, I'm going to give you a few minutes, few seconds to start tagging people, inviting people to the show. It's going to be a very informative show. We have special guests in the studio this evening, and we are going to go from there. So I'm going to press pause a little bit on my speaking to give you some time to get some people on the line. All right. All right, man. We back at it, man. So once again, tonight on the Kingdom Hour show, man, we want to first start off by saying big, huge thank yous to our sponsors and our supporters, Miss Mamie Sweet Treats, All Creek Construction, Destined to Shine Records, and of course, the Kingdom Life Central and the citizens of the Kingdom. We really love you. We appreciate you, and we thank you guys so much. For all of you guys who have been tuning in, thank you. For all of you guys who pray for us, thank you. For all of you guys who find us on social media, who's subscribed to the podcast show, we say thank you. Much love, and whatever we can do to be of assistance, hey, hit us up and let's get to it. All right, so tonight, y'all, on the Kingdom Hour show, we are actually talking on mental health and healing. This month is Mental Health Awareness Month, May. So we want to cover this issue because it's a very serious issue. I have a special guest in the studio on this evening. Her name is Kristen Davis. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for making it out. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Kristen Davis. I've been a registered nurse for, 18 years this year. I'm also a family nurse practitioner of 5 years this year. And last year, I got my certification in psychiatric and mental health. So that has been my journey with my career for the past, be almost a year in October. So
okay.
I specialize in mental health. I treat adults right now, and I work for a company called Cerebral, and we treat anything from anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, and bipolar depression.
So, oh, my. Yeah. Oh, man, that's a serious topic. And, okay, guys, on the line we have the great Catrice Cat Jones. How are you, sis?
Great to be here on the line with you guys on tonight. Thank you again for an opportunity to be able to share with you all on tonight. So thank you.
Most definitely. Go ahead and give the audience a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I am Evangelist Catrice Cat Jones, a board certified Christian counselor as well. I do own a organization called Peace of Healing Christian Counseling Services. We service anywhere from children to adults, from bipolarism, depression, confusion, life changes, you name it, we handle it. And so we're just an organization that wants to help people be better and to be able to let them understand that there's a healthy way of living in spite of what you suffer with. And so I think with this being Mental Health Awareness Month, no better time than for us to bring awareness to something that is oftentimes overlooked.
Okay.
We brush it underneath the table. So we'll jump into that a little bit later. But thank you. That's who I am and that's what I do.
Okay, most definitely. So I know that this is going to be an insightful show just off the muscle, because the issue with mental health, is so serious, you know. And the natural side of it as well as the spiritual side of it, because speaking as a pastor, I know that, hey, I believe in prayer, but I also believe in clinical help also. You know, I know that sometimes people need clinical help. You know, the power of prayer, healing, hey, I get it. But sometimes we need clinical help. So just, Kristen, from your own experience, just give us a little bit about the mental health issue.
Well, I mean, you know, mental health has, you know, back when it started, it was something that was always taboo, you know,
okay,
especially in certain cultures. From what I've seen from the African-American cultures and Hispanic cultures, it's just not something that you talk about.
Absolutely.
And people have fears about being transparent about it. But for some reason, we all know that 2020 was a hard year for everybody. I've noticed we've had such an influx of patients wanting to address their mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So with the company that I work for, which is a telemedicine company, it's made it very, very accessible for people to not have that fear of going into a doctor's office or being seen by someone to be, you know, seen by a psychiatrist, because people whisper and they talk about things. But with the telemedicine services, we've been able to, you know, you're able to see a provider directly from your home. And we also offer therapy and counseling. So I think this is a topic that I'm happy, you know, I express to my patients, I'm very happy when they come forth. I don't believe that medicine is the go-to for everything, but I do feel like the Lord made us mm-hmm. to be able to reach out to people and be able to help them with medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we provide that, and I'm just happy that more people are coming forward, talking about it, you know, especially with the suicide rates going up, especially with people being in the home over this past year. A lot of people have experienced a lot of psychological, physical, emotional trauma from this past year. So I think it's really been a good thing for mm-hmm. people to come forward and actually want to get treatment.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Okay, and Catrice, how about from your standpoint? I mean, let's talk about mental health from your perspective.
Mental health, I do believe, starts a lot of times with trauma from childhood, undiagnosed things that happen that grow into adult life. Part of my history is working with Memorial Hermann as well as with United Healthcare. With United Healthcare, I was in the mental health department, so I was able to be right there with patients when they come in to be diagnosed. And prescription medication, the taboo of, you know, medication, you know, we're just doping people up on medication. Not the case. Of course, we know that there's a lot of fraud and a lot of abuse with medication. Mm-hmm. However, there are medications that will help you to live better, to feel better, and to be more productive. So from a mental health standpoint, I think society has this stigmatism of what mental health is. They don't necessarily understand. We associate it with, oh, they're just crazy. That's just how they are.
Right.
Oh, that's just JoJo. He's always been like that. And so that's an undiagnosis. No, it's not just him, or no, it's not just her. Let's get to the bottom of why there's a temper tantrum every time we have a family event. Is
mm-hmm.
that normal? No, it's not normal. But we treat it as such because in the African American community, going to see a counselor or a therapist is a no-no.
Wow.
And I think the biggest thing that African Americans suffered coming up was what goes on in this house stays in this house.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's just a drunk. Well, he was a functional alcoholic. He went to work every day. He did all of those things, but he could not live without having a drink. That's a part of mental health. Mm-hmm. Substance abuse is a part of mental health. If you find yourself, you have no energy to do anything or to be social or any of those things that bring a vibrant life, that's something that we should be able to pay attention to. That's a part of mental health. And the list goes on and on, you know, the numbness of feelings.
Absolutely.
You know, nothing matters to us. You know, it's just an array of things that is in that category of mental health that we don't deal with.
Let me ask you guys this here. Because, you know, like you got both of you guys stated, you know, in the Black community, I mean, that's the community that I grew up in. So in the Black community, we are actually taught, you know, to be hard and to not let you put your business out there and everything. And so with that being the case in a lot of our communities, we actually find ourselves self-medicating.
Oh, yeah.
So what part of our self-medication do you think plays, or what role do you think our self-medication with street drugs, of course, what role does that play in mental health issues?
Well, I mean, you know, we all know that in the 80s, the introduction of crack mm-hmm. ruined the Black family. And they've actually, you know, made television series and shows that have depicted that. But we all know that any long-term substance abuse, alcohol, drugs, all of those can cause mental health disorders. Like
okay.
Schizophrenia, depression. And then next thing you know, that person is not functional all throughout their that adult lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of the time, they're either, you know, their families get tired of seeing that person constantly suffer. They never actually take those steps to help them. So mm-hmm. they end up lost in the community, homeless,
wow.
et cetera. And then by the time they're in their 50s and 60s, it's almost too late to treat them because they're used to just living that life.
Yeah, so now it's just really a dependency.
Yeah.
Not only on the drug or the alcohol, but it's, like you said, that lifestyle,
yeah, it's
period.
Just what they know.
Because one thing that I've noticed a lot within our communities to this day is, you know, there are a lot of group homes they're popping up everywhere, you know. And so what I see is like, you know, it's like a hustle or whatever, you know. And
yeah.
And what I'm saying is, because there are some group homes that are actually operated out of love, but the majority of them are not. They only there to get the patient's check. And so what I'm seeing within the communities is this here, is that there are a lot of these particular people with these issues or with these conditions. And like you said, they are actually roaming throughout the neighborhood. I mean, I can go to the corner right now and I know this guy lives in one of those group homes, but he's out there with his sign faithfully, you know. But what would be the antidote to the mental health issue if you guys can even see an antidote? Catrice?
And not just in May with Mental Health Awareness Month. I think it's something that we should touch on every month, every day, and not just make it a month, because people are suffering with mental health issues, depression, bipolarism, all of those things every single day, especially even now as we are trying to come out of a pandemic. Mental health went to an all-time high during the pandemic. People were not able to cope with not being able to do their normal functions as if you will. You know, some people cope by being able to be social,
mm-hmm.
you know, being around other people, and that was removed. Mm-hmm. And so that brought out a lot of mental health issues that we had to deal with. And you said something earlier that was profound. Church does not fix everything. Yes, I'm one that loves the Lord, and I know that he's a healer, and he's everything that we claim him to be. Nobody loves him more than I do. But I do know that there are some things that prayer just does not fix.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Some things prayer just doesn't fix. And I think if we... I'm not going to say normalize it, but normalize it in a way that we make people feel comfortable to talk about whatever those issues are that they're dealing with. And once they get past being able to talk about it, then they're more receptive to be able to reach out for help. But if we put the negative aspect to it, to where people don't want to talk about it or they're in denial about what they're feeling, because it's a feeling. Mental health is a feeling. That's where it starts. It starts in the mind, mm-hmm. and your mind will play tricks on you to make you feel as though, oh, this is not who I am. This is not who God created me to be. I'm living in something else, and this goes on and on. But I think if we, as counselors, as ministers, as people in the community, if we begin to push and make the resources available and be available.
Right. I like that. Be available.
And these counseling centers, if they have the resources, make it available.
Absolutely.
You say you're going to call somebody and talk to them about what they're dealing with, be true to your word and call them. Because that may be the last phone call that they get.
I agree. Let me ask you this, Kristen. So as a professional, you know, a nurse practitioner, we lost her, a nurse practitioner. How do we, as people who are not, okay, she's back. Hey, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, we had lost you. Okay, so my question, Kristen, is how do we as, I would call us civilians. Yeah. You guys aren't, you and Catrice are not civilians, you know, when it comes to the medical field. So us as civilians, how do we really get people with mental disorders to open up to us?
Well, you know, really, it's more about being informative. I think even though we're recognizing mental health as a month, it's something that needs to be addressed 365 days a year, just like Catrice said. And it's just really just about providing that information and constantly reinforcing that we have resources available. The problem I have is that I understand medicine is great. We've had some, you know, breakthroughs in medicine that have helped mental health, but I recommend therapy to all of my patients, mm-hmm. because a lot of times trauma, abuse, all of those things can be addressed with therapy, and this is evidence-based practice, uh-huh. From the American Psychiatric Association, that medication in combination with therapy, patients tend to do a lot better, because it doesn't mean you have to be on medicine for the rest of your life, but just to keep up with those counseling sessions is just as important. So I think it's more about we just need more people out there to reinforce it, to let people know that we're available. But sometimes it's just hard for, we just have a shortage of counselors, you know.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. I have a friend whose daughter was suicidal, and, you know, took her to the hospital, and, you know, we waited a day and a half to have a psych response.
Wow.
You know, that's a problem, you know. So it just opened up my eyes and just made me realize that, wow, even though I'm in this profession and I'm providing free people every day, can you imagine, like, people actually going to the hospital and having to wait a day and a half just to talk to a therapist.
Right, right.
After a suicide attempt. So I think, you know, we just need more people that are going into the careers and of mental health to get it more advanced. Because even though we have people reaching out to get help, there's still a shortage of providers, licensed okay. counselors and providers.
Most definitely understand that. And so I believe Catrice stated in the beginning of the conversation that, you know, there is a lot of things that our youth are growing up and dealing with. And so how do we deal with this? Because let's say you have a parent, you know, and they actually live off of, quote unquote, a crazy check mm-hmm. from their child. And so a lot of times with children they have to go see the psych doctor. And then more than likely they are prescribed a prescription. But for a child at that age, when there's nothing really wrong with that child, what part does this play in that child growing up? And becoming an adult, we're having to take this particular medication when there was nothing wrong with them, but they take this medication, and to get him off this medication, they prescribe him another medication. So, I mean, we have to go all the way back to the root of the issue, and I'm speaking community-wise, we have to go all the way back to the root, you know, and of course, okay, something is wrong with the parent, if this is the solution or if this is the case, but bringing that child up, you know, it does some things, because over a period of time, the medicine does something, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, the medicines are effective. I think a lot of times when teenagers are having depression or any kind of undiagnosed psychiatric disorder, I think a lot of the times the doctors misdiagnose. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes they rush medications too fast. Okay. You know, adolescence and growing up as a teen is a lot different than it was for us, because now you have social media that's influencing them. There's all this technology. They have so many different, you know, stimulants. So they're constantly mm-hmm. feeling under pressure, like I need to be like this person, be like that person. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot different now. But I think that a lot of times medication is just rushed. And I think a lot of times the parents don't get them to a position to get some counseling first before okay. they actually seek medication.
Okay, got you, got you. Catrice, you had anything to add to that?
I do. I agree with Kristen on that. I think with children, and while we're talking about adolescents and children, ADHD, perfect example, mm-hmm. you know, you may have a hyperactive kid, and that kid may be just an active child. Mm-hmm. You know, that kid may be just one of those kids that enjoy playing. We'll use that term, just enjoy playing. And this kid has a lot of energy and all these things, and they get to school, and the nurses, all it takes is one person to say, oh, there's something wrong, and then they convince mom or dad that, oh, there's a behavioral issue. And so what do we do? What has been the normal in the African-American community? Mm-hmm. You pop our kids with ADHD medication.
Yeah.
Okay? And so that's where it starts. So what does that medication do? That medication calms that child down, where that child is not necessarily functioning mm-hmm. at the level that they should be functioning, because ADHD medication slows you down.
Yeah, so it's actually a controlling tactic then.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and I can speak candidly on that, because, you know, when my son was in kindergarten, you know, and I fought the parents for it, because when my son was in kindergarten, they tried to say that he had ADHD, but that was just something that I would not receive. I'm like, no, he doesn't have ADHD. And actually what fixed the problem was more discipline, mm-hmm. you know, discipline. And I mean, and it was physical discipline, you know, but I'm not saying that physical discipline is always, but I knew my child, you know, but it caused him to actually know that, okay, it's a time and it's a place for everything. It's a time and it's a place for everything. And at school, this is not the time for all this extra energy, you know.
I wanted to add also, I think a lot of times, you know, as far as like diagnosing, it also depends on the circumstances, because we have a lot of single parents.
Okay.
They're working 2-3 jobs to make ends meet. They can't be home with the kids, so they leave them with the older kids. And a lot of times they may not have that attention that they need. So if they go to school, they may act out, but it doesn't necessarily mean they have ADHD.
Right.
It could just be something where they need that parent in the household, or there's a lack of 2 parents in the household, because we have a lot of women raising
Absolutely.
Kids by themselves. So a lot of times it's not the kid acting out. It could be something that where the kid's just independent on their own at home, mm-hmm. or it could be something from trauma that's not being addressed. So I just hate it when they try to just pin ADHD on everybody, because, you know, those medications have side effects.
Absolutely. Know? And I do believe that, you know, as a parent, you know, 2-parent home, single parent home, I believe as a parent, you know, you have to, you know, you have to tap into that spiritual side to be able to see, okay, what's going on with my child, you know, does he really need help, you know? I mean, you have to be able to see it, you know. And with that being said, we want to shift into the spiritual antidote, because like you said, I agree, Kristen. I'm not against medicine. You know, but I do believe that medicine has its place. Oh, yeah. You know, everything is not fixed through a pill. You know, I believe that you have to have some type of discernment in regards to what's going on. Because when we deal with the mental health issue, yes, that is real. You have people that's out here. They can potentially be dangerous people, depending on what happens, what moment. You know, you catch them right, you catch them wrong. You know, mental health is real. But when we think about mental health, what part does our belief in God plays in mental health?
No, I absolutely believe that, you know, because like Katrice said, like He is the healer of all healers.
Okay.
You know?
Amen.
And I tell, you know, I try not to enforce my beliefs on right. my patients, but I always tell them, you know, medicine is one thing, but there are other things that you need to do for yourself as an adult, because obviously these are adults, mm-hmm. to facilitate your mental health journey. It's not mm-hmm. about just popping pills every day. It's also about how you take care of yourself,
right.
surrounding yourself with good people, diet, exercise, and your faith, you know, mm-hmm. whatever faith that is for you.
Right.
But, you know, I always broaden broaden the modality of treating mental health, because it's not just medicine based. You know, there are other things. So having faith and belief is just as important to me.
Absolutely. And I do believe, Catrice, I do believe that our faith plays a major role. But if you've had no one there to assist you with the cultivation of your faith, you know, because, man, I know it can get hard. You having a moment and you praying to God, or whoever you praying to, you praying to God. I pray to God. I believe in God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. But you praying and it seems as if nothing has happened, but the doctor then gave me a bottle of pills that'll put me to sleep or sedate me. But I want to say this, and before I say it, Catrice, did you have anything to state on that before I state what I'm about to state?
Yeah, I would say we have to hold the church accountable as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Worshiping and we're praying and we're doing all of these things, but we have to make, as a church body, we have to make the resources available and own it.
Okay.
And own it to see that the mental health aspect of the membership and you know, respectively, these are our family.
Right.
You know, we spend a lot of time with our church family, and these are our family members, and so we have to see about not just their living arrangements or giving out food or making sure there's water and all of these things, but we also have to see about the mental health of the people that we surround ourselves with, even in the home. You know, I'll take it back to the kids real quick. You know, if we know that, you know, Sally has some challenges already and Sally has three kids, you know, who else in their family can step up and say, you know what, something is not right here. We need to step in. You know, we need to do an intervention. We need to do something, you know, versus just saying, you know what, oh, she just keeps having kids. That's just her. You know, nobody can tell
her something's wrong.
We have to stop brushing things aside to be able to help people to be better than what we think that they are, because God called us and created us in his image, and that's who we are.
And I agree.
We have to hold one another accountable. We have to hold the church accountable. These preachers, pastors, evangelists, bishops, overseers, all of those people, we have to hold accountable to see about God's people. That's what we're called to do. You know, we can do live videos. We can do conferences, and we can do all of these things, but are we really helping?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the key point. That's the key point right there, because, you know, as a pastor, I believe that we can't be ignorant. You know, we can't be ignorant. I do believe that we have to, you know, like you said, God allowed you guys to create medicine, you know, so there's a purpose for it. But I believe that as a leader, it's my responsibility to have the right resources to direct. And so as a leader, leading a flock of people, you know, I have to be able to identify that, okay, yeah, we can pray for you and we want to see you delivered. And, you know, you have to want it also. But there was one key, as I went through the scriptures, there was one key thing that I kept noticing, because there were mental health issues in the Bible. You know, it's a whole bunch of people who was off they rocker a little bit in the scripture. And so the first person that I've noticed to be dealing with some mental issues was King Saul. And so if we look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, the word of God actually says, "Now the spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and an evil spirit sent from the Lord began to torment him." So that shows me, one, okay, dealing with mental health issues, okay, bro, depression, schizophrenia, phobias, all of those are not natural things. And so therefore it causes us, we have to look deeper. And like you said, medicine doesn't fix it. We have to look deeper. So now as we begin to look deeper, you know, okay, you ultimately have a spiritual issue going on. And so to get to deal with the issue that you have, I have to first call forth your attention. You see what I'm saying? And to call forth your attention is not always easy if you're always looking for that pill or somewhere. But what I'm saying is the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul. So I think this is what I believe, dealing with mental health issues, we absolutely have to look at a person's spiritual condition. What do you guys think?
No, I mean, I feel like you need a belief system.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is God, you know, I believe about Jesus Christ.
Okay.
But you need, that is the foundation. He's the one that created us to be here.
Mm-hmm.
But he also, you know, we know that Jesus suffered, but,
yeah,
you know, I feel like you have to have a belief system as your foundation to mm-hmm. get to go on to your mental health journey.
Right. Okay. Sister Catrice.
Everything through prayer. If you know anything about me, you know I love prayer. And I think everything through prayer, developing a prayer life, and if you're consistent with your prayer life, and you're going to God consistently about whatever it is that you're dealing with that you want God to release you from, I am a believer that he will do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's in your heart that you want to change. Sex addiction. That's a mental health issue that we don't talk about.
Right.
You know, that's another one. Like I said, the list goes on and on. But whatever those things are that we suffer with, I think if we go to God in prayer with a sincere heart, then God is able to do exactly what he told us that he would do for us. Mm-hmm. And so
absolutely,
having a team of prayer members, you know, you don't have to do it alone and let people know, you know, your loved ones, your friends or whatever, whoever it is that's going through whatever, you know, let them know, hey, I'm in agreement with you. You know, I will intercede with you. I will intercede for you. But we're going to go into prayer and we're going to pray this thing loose.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're praying with the believers, I believe that it will be loose. But I think a prayer life is definitely key when you're feeling, and I tell my clients a lot, you know, I'm a Christian counselor, so I'm going to give you what the Bible says,
mm-hmm.
because that's what I believe in. You know, I'll give you resources, but I'm going to also tie back to the Bible, mm-hmm. what God created us to be,
right.
and who we are through him. And so I think it's very important that, you know, it's a biblical thing, and we have to trust it. We have to believe in it.
Okay. And I agree. And because, you know, my thing with prayer is this. I believe in prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. But I'm convinced that it's what you do after the amen that counts the most. So we can pray, and I believe God is a healer, God is a deliverer. It's no buts. But what I'm saying is I believe that God is a healer. He will heal you. Okay, so even with Saul, he had advisors, and his advisors told him, maybe you need to find a harp player, you know, and you were speaking on it. You said something about music therapy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's definitely an option.
Okay. And if you notice, in a lot of music therapy, the main instrument is the harp. It's the harp. And so they found David, and David was able to calm him through his skills, through the anointing that he had with his harp. Now, that was a practice like 3,000 years ago, and it's still in effect today. But, you know, so with prayer, and you guys mentioned again, you have to have a team of people.
Oh, yeah.
So as a pastor, as a leader, if I'm praying for this young man, hey, man, I'm standing in the gap for what you can't believe right now. But until you can get your belief system up, I need you to go see Kristen. You know, I need you to go see Kristen. And this is, so Catrice, I believe that everything has to be divinely orchestrated, because if I tell you to go and see Catrice or to go and see Kristen, then I know you guys can't impose your belief on anybody. I get that. You know, I don't impose my belief on anybody, but I can tell you what works for me. You know, and so if I send them to you, then I don't have to worry about you just trying to write them a prescription. You know, but you'll be able to give them some insight or some information in regards to, okay, what can make it better. And so I mentioned Saul because he was really the first one. That dude really had some issues. You know, one minute he cool, the next minute he's spazzing out. One minute he loved David, the next minute he wanted to kill him. You know, he had jealousy issues. He was paranoid. He had schizophrenia. The dude had some mental issues. But I noticed that the thing that I noticed is that when the Spirit of the Lord left him. When the Spirit of the Lord left him. See, a lot of people don't like to talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, they don't consider him a real being, and they want to fuss and they want to fight about this. But I can speak from experience that, you know, in this pandemic, man, boy, yeah, it thing got real, real tight. And, you know, a lot of people are breaking down. A lot of people aren't able to cope. And so, but yet they still won't go see a doctor.
Oh, yeah.
So what you say about it, Kristen?
Well, I mean, the pandemic has definitely revealed a lot of mental illness. And I'm not saying since I've been working with the company I've been working with, it hasn't been just people who are really passionate about their mental health. You also have people who want to abuse medications, right? Mm. From what I've seen. So, you just kind of have to be able to discern who's really serious about their mental health journey. Who really is just trying to, you know, acquire drugs to sell, to abuse. So
right. She's speaking on the whole game.
But it's true.
Yeah, you come
because everyone is not really sincere about their mental health. There's a lot of people that don't actually take it seriously. They just want to abuse, you know, medication.
I'm glad you said that, because my next point was actually, how do you, as counselors, how do you identify people who plan? That was literally I can show you my notes. That was literally my next question. How do you guys identify those who are actually playing like something's wrong with them?
Catrice, you first.
Okay. it's good that you asked that question. With my clients, and this just works for me. They have an assignment, okay? And if you're already on medication, I get that. You know, some need it, some don't, some abuse it. Okay, that's neither here nor there, but you have homework to do with me. And the goal is going to be to get to the bottom of why you feel the way that you feel, why you act the way that you act, and get to the root of what the problem is.
Mm.
And a person that really and truly wants to heal and be better, they're going to want to come off of that medication.
Okay.
They're going to want to come off of the medication. The abusers, what I found, you take that medication away from them, they're combative. Because they want the medication, but they don't want the help.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
They want the medication because the medication sometimes, not always, sometimes, and it depends on the dosage, sometimes manipulate what it is that they're dealing with. So they're not able to deal with it.
Okay.
So they're taking the medication to manipulate what it is that they're dealing with, or to cover it up. With every session, there's a homework assignment. And if you're showing up for each session and your assignment is not complete, okay, is this something that you really want? Because you have to want whatever you do with healing, is going to require you to do something. God requires us to do something. We require something of him. He also requires something of us. And so it's the same way with counseling, you know, and praying and asking God while you're in this business, because that's what it is. It's a business of helping people, that God will elevate your discernment, and so that you won't be blindsided by those that just want to come in and get a prescription, or those that just want to come in and flirt, and those that just want to come in just to have someone to vent or to talk to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Kristen, how do you discern?
Well, I mean, a lot of the times when I evaluate patients, sometimes they're just upfront. They'll tell me all the non-controlled things don't work, like this doesn't work. But as soon as it comes to Xanax or something controlled, they dive right in and tell me exactly what they want. And to me, those are not people who are serious about really controlling their PTSD, their anxiety, depression. I think those are people that just try to use those medications for numbing purposes or just abuse them. And this is why we have strict policies, especially in Texas. But wow. A lot of the time, you know, and through my company, we also offer counseling and, you know, some cognitive behavioral therapies, grounding techniques for anxiety, those things that on the application that we use that they can use for those psychiatric disorders, but a lot of times the patients don't use them. So I kind of know off the top if someone is really serious. And most of the times I don't have problems with patients that are young and are more medication naive. It's usually people that have been on medication for years that are more, you know, seeking controlled substances.
So they literally come in there with a grocery list. I want the Xanax and I want the handlebars.
That's what they ask for.
Okay. And I asked that question because, once again, you know, mental illness is nothing new. In fact, the scripture says that there's nothing new that's under the sun. So we had King Saul dealing with mental health issues. And I know, once again, I point again that when the spirit of the Lord left him, then the Lord sent or allowed an evil spirit to come. And that was really for God to show that he has complete control. But then I'll go farther and see how it was a time where David had to play like he was crazy to save his life, to keep from because David killed a lot of Philistines. And so in order, he was running from Saul because Saul was having an episode, and he ended up in Philistine land. And so in order for the Philistines not to kill him, or he thought the king was going to kill him because they knew his track record, David, he played like he was crazy, right? He played like he was crazy. And so the next person in the scripture that I noticed who had mental issues was King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar, he had done a lot of things, you know, and I'm bringing this up, you know, just so the audience will know that, you know, man, mental health issues is real, but at the end of the day, we have to get to the underlying cause, which is typically a spiritual cause, because someone may have been ignorant spiritually, someone may have had not been able to discern, but anyhow, it ends up with the end result of they having to come to see you guys, you know, and we want to get them better. We want to get them better. But I believe that in order to really make a person better, to help a person heal, I believe that we have to get them back to that spiritual state. I mean, would you guys agree or disagree?
No, I agree with that, because the way times are now, I feel like they're trying to remove Christ from everything. Mm-hmm. So it is our responsibility as believers to bring those people back in, because the way things are now, they just want to erase God from everything.
And I think well, and it's gonna sound like I'm green or new to it, or when I say what I'm about to say, but I think that authentic love is going to be the only thing that can really direct a person. And so, like you said, it's a shortage on counselors. It's a shortage on people, because now everybody just look for a check, man. You look for a check. There's not many people that's doing things just out of compassion. You know, I know we got bills and stuff, but at the end of the day, man, this is another person's life. You know, don't just prescribe them a prescription. I mean, if the prescription is necessary, and what I get from you guys is that's how you guys, the word escapes me right now, diagnose. That's how you guys diagnose. But I think that if we begin to begin to operate with the love of Christ or the love of God, we can begin to be more of help. You know, I think that people need to see that, okay, man, it's something different about this counselor. You see what I'm saying? Or it's something different about this practitioner. You know, I know you can't go in there and say, man, Jesus is the way, you need to follow Jesus. I know you can't do that. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, when we begin to counsel on Catrice, what's your spiritual state like? You know, and I mean, that can open up a door to whatever you believe in, you know, but it can also open up a door to what you believe in, you know. So, Catrice, how do we get them back to a spiritual state?
I think first, you meet people where they are.
Absolutely.
You allow them to, and when they're seeking out counselors, when they see that Christian counselor, a lot of times if they're not believers, they're going to stray away from that Christian counselor.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know that you're coming biblical. And so if that's not their thing, they're probably going to stray away from that Christian counselor, per se. For those that do choose a Christian counselor, somewhere in there, whether they lost it or not, or if it's put on hold, then there is some sort of belief in there. And so when they choose a counselor and it's a Christian counselor, then I automatically know if they chose me that there's some belief in something, we'll get to the bottom of it. We'll get to see what that is.
Let me jump in right there, Catrice.
That gives them
So let me ask you this here, Catrice. So with that, I think that that is very vital, you know, because like you said, that most of the time when they find out that it is a Christian counselor, they're going to stray away from it or whatever. But I think that man, what you said was very vital because, okay, if you hang out and if you stay, you feel me, then you more than likely my assignment, you know. But, you know, I think that people look at just religious counselors like that across the board, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So if you are a Muslim counselor, you know, you still bring in some form of religion or some form of spirituality. If you practice Hinduism, whatever your spiritual practice is, a lot of people do not want to tap into the spiritualness of life. I mean, and that's an issue because, you know, man, I can't, if Islam is working for you, bruh, I believe my truth or my way, I believe Jesus is the way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But you may not believe that, you know what I'm saying? But you practicing Islam, you know, and that changed your life. You feel me? At the end of it all, Kristen, I believe, look, bro, you got to answer for you and I got to answer for me, right? But what I'm saying is a lot of people venture off from the spiritualness of things, period. Why do you guys think don't nobody want to deal with the spirituality of nothing?
I think it's social media.
Oh, wow. She blamed the social
media. Social media tech and the advancement of technology. To me, there's so much revealed on now on TV and social media, and I think people are seeing too much, and they're just slowly just taking Christ out of everything. Like I blame it on that because we didn't have this when we were growing up as teenagers. So
right.
We went to church. We stayed in church all day on Easter. Now, you know, you can sit in church for 20 minutes and go home and do Snapchat. That was disrespect.
Okay. So there's no more structure or discipline.
Yeah. And so,
okay.
I blame it on, that's just my opinion.
Social media, technology.
Technology. I love technology, but yeah. I think it has its setbacks.
Okay. Catrice, what about you? Why do you think people don't want to deal with the spirituality of anything? And, you know, I know that we are Christian believers, but like I said, you know, you have Hinduism and you have the different religions, Islam and things like that, you know, that deals with religion or spirituality. But the minute someone, and this is what I think, I believe that spirituality is a reality that a lot of people just aren't prepared for, because I've lived in this natural realm so long, the spiritual side of it causes me to have to come out and causes me to have to really look at myself. But Catrice, what you think? Why don't people really want to deal with the spirituality of life?
I think people don't want to be held accountable.
Oh, okay.
For their actions.
Okay.
They don't want to be held accountable. You know, we live in a society that, you know, it's a free will, you know, everybody want to do what they want to do, and, you know, nobody can tell me anything, and as Kristen said, social media has taken life to a whole nother dimension, and I think people just don't want to be held accountable. They don't want the counseling, they don't want the help, they want somewhere or a platform where they can vent.
Okay, got you.
And venting is good, now, don't get me wrong, you know, if venting is going to prevent you from going off or fighting or being
talk about it.
Somebody else, find you somebody to vent too.
Yeah, but it depends on who also.
But not absolutely. on a social media platform.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It depends on who, you know.
It depends on who and what their intentions are, because some people like to hear your downfalls. You
oh,
know,
my
like,
God.
Right. Absolutely. So I think that people just in society now just don't want to be held accountable. You know, and the ultimate goal is what? Salvation. And we have gotten away from that.
To be set free.
Salvation.
Oh man, that's good. That's good because the ultimate goal is salvation. With salvation, that means you've been set free, you've been redeemed. And dealing with mental issue, that's you guys' assignment in that particular field, is to get you redeemed and to get you set free from these mental attacks or these anxiety attacks. And so Nebuchadnezzar, he was another biblical figure who had mental issues, but I noticed that his trouble started when he erected that statue of himself and commanded that people bow down and worship him. So once again, there here's another person that has pulled away from the Lord in disobedience. Signs of depression. What are some of the signs of depression, guys?
Oh, goodness. Lack of interest in things that you used to do, sleeping more, sleeping less, lack of social interaction, overeating, not eating. Oh my God, there's so many things.
Wow. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I asked that question because I believe that we as people who are deemed to be sane, you know, I believe that we have to begin to identify these things.
Oh, yeah. You know? I mean, you know, depression is very common. It's probably like anxiety and depression are both the most commonly diagnosed mental health disorder. And the thing about depression is it's something, you know, of course, that we've all experienced, whether mm-hmm. it's situational or it could be like an inorganic cause. It's just really more about recognizing those signs and symptoms and just getting help as early as you can.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, guys, we down into the last 8 minutes of the show. Once again, you've been tuned in to the Kingdom Hour Show, TKHS. We thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Tonight, y'all, we talking mental health and healing with our special guests, Kristen Davis and Catrice Cat Jones. Man, so we understand that the natural side of it is serious, but the spiritual side of it is serious as well. And so, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a pastor or because I'm a believer, but I believe the underlying factor of mental illness and mental issues, I believe it stems from a spiritual state. I'm convinced that it stems from a spiritual state. As I go through the scripture, and I just named a couple of people, you know, Solomon was another one, man. I remember reading Ecclesiastes, and man, that dude depressed me. I'm literally reading the Bible and I'm like, Solomon, bro, I'm trying right here, but you telling me don't nothing mean nothing, and bro. And but one of his problems was he had did too much. He had seen too much, you know. But that's some minutes. So in these last few minutes, guys, I want to talk about relief. How can we provide relief spiritually and naturally?
Catrice?
I would say ownership. If we can get to a place to where we can own what it is that we're dealing with, where we can own what it is that we're facing, and when we can own what it is that needs to be healed,
mm-hmm.
what needs to be corrected, and what needs to be fixed, I think at that point we can release it. But I think ownership of it and acknowledgement of it in a way to where we're not embarrassed. A lot of times we're embarrassed by what we're going through because we've heard so many people talk negative about maybe something that we're dealing with.
Depression,
anxiety, all of these different things. You know, we hear society talk so negative about it, and so people don't want to own that, hey, I may be depressed. I am sleeping a little bit more. I am non-social where I used to be and all of those things. So I think accountability for what we're dealing with, owning it, and seeking out the help that we need. And for us as counselors and as Christian believers, being able to, even if you're not a counselor, you know, you can listen and refer those people to someone that, you know, that has the criteria to be able to help someone else. And so I think if we just continue to work down that path, I mm-hmm. think we'll be able to reach and help a little bit more people.
Absolutely. Kristen?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with her. I mean, it's really just more about having that transparency. And even if it's someone that, and just finding someone that you are comfortable with,
mm-hmm.
that can and you can establish a rapport with to be able to be transparent about mental health. Because, like I said, it's not, you know, it's not every day you want to, you walk into a psychiatrist's office and people are afraid that someone may see them there because wow. of that. So it's more about just being able to be accountable for how you feel, acknowledging that, and being able to find someone that you can trust and be transparent with so you can get the help that you need.
Okay, that's absolutely on it. Let me ask you guys this, because y'all in this life, just like we in this life, you know, what do you guys do to deal with mental stress? Or what do you do to find relief when it's just too much?
I oh Lord, I had to pray. Leaving Memorial Hermit after 18 years put me in such a funk, and I'm just like, how am I gonna get out of this? I'm like, Lord, just get me out of this. I just want to, you know, because I feel like I was having a meltdown every day. But of course, prayer is always first. Mm-hmm. You know, and just sharing my thoughts and my feelings with my family.
Okay.
You know, having that support, that social support system is always, it always makes you feel like, okay, you're not going to get through this, you know, alone. So,
okay.
And everybody doesn't have that. You know, I'm blessed that I do have that. So what I do is I just pray and I just lean on my social support system, you know, whenever I'm going through things, because I know we all have the tendency to keep things inside, but mm-hmm. it always feels better when you can, you know, be able to talk to someone about how you feel.
Right. So your medication is actually prayer and outlet.
Yes.
Wow. But I'm quite sure that those outlets are, they have to be with people, yeah, you know, that's concerned, mm-hmm. concerned, and not just.
And that are good listeners, you know.
Got you. Okay. Catrice, what about you? What are some of your, what are some of your relief tactics when it's just too much?
Prayer and meditation, of course, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. But I think even the counselor needs the counselor.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Even the, and I can't say that enough, because we as counselors need a counselor. We retain so much information mm-hmm. from other people that we're helping. Yeah. And we have to have an avenue to be able to release that. You know, I still work for Memorial Hermit, and I have to tell myself, okay, when I get in my car, mm-hmm. not when I'm walking through the parking lot, but once I get in my car, guess what? I no longer work for mm-hmm. Memorial Hermit. Mm-hmm. I work for you now.
Okay.
Catrice, what do they call it? Is it compassion fatigue, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because, yes. you know, and we're so used to.
We hold on to, and mm. I have to learn that, okay, once you deal with it, once you provide the resources, once you provide the help, until that next session, cut that off.
Wow, that's.
You go to bed thinking about that person, and I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but when you have so many clients, at some point you have to disconnect. And also, like Kristen said, having a balanced life. Mm-hmm. Like I can, if you follow wow. me on social media, I do church, I do prayer, I do all of those things that the Lord loves, but I also have a balanced life, like where I like to go places with my friends, I like to go to dinner with my daughter, I like to go to the beach, I like to travel, so that's my way of being able to decompress and release and keep my mental state intact.
And what's that term you just used?
Compassion fatigue.
Compassion, because I think... A lot of pastors deal with compassion.
You do.
Fatigue.
I mean, we're empaths, so naturally mm-hmm. we're constantly being like, not really drained, but we're constantly hearing about people's worries, their tribulations. Mm-hmm. So we're constantly giving and giving, but we have to set boundaries for ourselves.
Wow, so we can be replenished also. Well, look, man, I'm gonna go and join the team, because my wife in here from Memorial Hermit, you from Memorial, she from Memorial. I was born in Memorial Hermit, all right. But you know, at the end of it all, guys, I think that dealing with mental health, healing is possible. Mm-hmm. Healing is possible, and I think that what it's going to take is I think it's going to take work from the inside with compassionate and caring people, people who genuinely care and not just look. I think my opinion, and I'm entitled to my opinion, I think a big issue that we're having with the mental health patients now is the doctors are so quick to write a prescription. I think that that's the key piece. I think also that there isn't many people dealing with the spiritualness or the spiritual side of this issue. I think that, you know, we have to stop. This is from the pulpit to the hospital. We have to stop just trying to write people off, you know, man. Look, bro, I see you cool, but it's something wrong now. And once again, the referral system, bro. Look here, man. I'm a pastor, bro. Like I say, I can pray for you. I can lay hands on you. I done seen demons come out of people. I'm being for real. And you know, just to speak for myself, before I completely committed my life to Christ, bruh, it was a dark state for me. I would take trips to Louisiana, and on these trips, a lot of these times I would be by myself, and I would literally be tormented by figures that I would see ride on a bicycle. And I can describe the bike. It was a 10-speed bicycle that these images would ride on, and they were always ahead of me. And by the time I get to where I saw it at, it's further ahead of me, man. But this was before I submitted my life to Christ, you know. And now tell me that's not a mental issue. But I had my self-medication, you see what I'm saying? And what I would use the self-medication was to escape that particular reality. But that was a frightening thing. So I'm not speaking from a state of not really being able to relate, you know. But I can say this here. When I gave my life to Christ, you know, those things went away, you know. It's nothing magical about it, you know. Those things went away because when things begin to, I would pull more to my belief system, like you said. But I want to leave you guys with this here. Philippians 4 and 6, the word of God says, don't worry about anything. And I know, man, for a person in the thick of a storm or in the thick of the burn, bro, what you mean don't worry? You feel me? Somebody got to control this. What you mean don't worry? So one, I want to let the audience know, in order to be able to get to a place of don't worry, that is something that you have to been already practicing. You see what I'm saying? You have to be in a motion of something that you've already practiced. I practice not worrying about nothing. Do you face issues? Yes, I face issues. But when they pop up, I say, thank you, Lord. And not being overly spiritual or overly religious, this is my belief. I say, thank you, Lord, and I have to trust that it's going to be okay. He says, don't worry about anything, but in everything. So I just want to encourage that person who may be dealing with mental disorders, schizophrenia, phobias, fear, anything that you may be dealing with, man. He says that, look here, through prayer, you stated that. That's how you cope, through prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, you have to already know that it's done. Man, I get to saying amen and I spaz out right quick, you know, and I gotta go get my medication or whatever. I hear what you're saying, you know. Hey man, if you on medication, I'm not telling you to stop your medication, but I am telling you to try the Lord. Try him, just try him. You know, it may not be an overnight thing, you know, but just keep trying him, keep trying him. I guarantee you that he will work for you. The word of God says, present your request to God. If you're dealing with mental disorders, when was the last time you told God, God, I need some help? You'll tell it to the doctor to get that script. But when was the last time you told God, look, God, I need some help. I need to be healed. You know, I don't want to, because medication is only a quick fix. You know, sometimes I get a headache and I take an Advil liquid gel. Before I take that Advil liquid gel, I pray over that thing. And I say, God, please allow this to do what it's been created to do. That's my prayer. Dealing with any type of medication, the word of God says that, and the peace, he says that, look, if you don't worry, and if in everything you do it through prayer and petition with thanksgiving. If you present your request to God, he says, the peace of God, which surpasses all, you won't even know where the peace coming from. He says, this peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's, see, for me, that's a prescription right there for me. You know what I'm saying? If I do this, you mean to tell me that this is going to be the end? You telling me, Doc, if I take this medicine, then my anxiety level is going to come down or my blood pressure is going to come down. So if I take this pill right here, I got to practice not worrying. But when you begin to practice not worrying, everything and his mama going to come at you to cause you to worry. But because that's what I practice now, I'm not worrying about this here. I'm praying about this here, you know, and I'm not praying to a God who don't hear me. You know what I'm saying? I'm petitioning this here. Then I will receive a peace. I will receive a peace. I wanted to state this here. Spiritual healing requires spiritual remedies. Mental health issues are very much so real. Y'all are the proof of it. Y'all deal with people every day. But I noticed that Most people who are dealing with mental health issues, they have strayed spiritually. They're not connected spiritually. And that's the whole thing with our adversary. If I can disconnect you, it's just like, say, if you had a bodyguard
you know, if you was a famous singer or actress or something, you had a bodyguard and you had an enemy in the audience. The enemy's job is to get you away from the bodyguard, because therefore you're not guarded anymore. And so our enemy's job is to get us away from our protection. Then he can pound on us with phobias and paranoia and fears and things like that. And so spiritual healing requires spiritual remedies, and we cannot ignore the dimension of a spiritual healing. I'm being dead serious. I'm not, I'm being real with y'all, man. Also, these are some other relief factors. And both of you guys stated this here. One, prayer. Two, meditation. The world gives us medication, but the Spirit of the Lord gives us meditation. You can find that in Psalms 1 and 2. Togetherness. You said that. Togetherness. These are things. Togetherness. You can find that in Hebrews 10 and 25, where the Word of God says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Sense of understanding. Proverbs 4 and 7. Helping others. That gives you a sense of peace and a sense of release. You can find that in Galatians 6 and 10. So as we get ready to close this evening, guys, I want to give you guys an opportunity to really make an appeal. My appeal is this. Try Jesus. Try him. He will work for you. He will give you the peace. Jesus will give you the Spirit. And it's crazy because I'm speaking what I know. I'm speaking what was my solution and what helped me. But from you guys' perspective, what would you close the show out with? What would you have to say to the audience in regards to mental health and healing?
I would say there is help. There is resources. And you can be healed.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can be healed.
Absolutely.
And I would say, like she said, there are resources. Learn to put yourself first. And God didn't put the spirit of fear in us. So cast your cares upon the Lord and reach out for help if you need it, because we live in a great city. We have resources. You just have to just rely on those resources to get the help you need.
Tap in. Once again, guys, you've been tuned in to the Kingdom Hour Show, TKHS. We in here talking about mental health and healing. We most definitely want to see our communities healed. But in order to be a conduit in healing, you have to be healed. Mental health issues are very much so real. These things are serious. So if you're not dealing with a mental health issue, go ahead and align yourself and position yourself to be spiritually healed and spiritually whole, that you can be a hand in this particular thing and helping people being restored. Because I believe that's what it is. I believe people need to be restored back to their original state before all of the madness and before all of the chaos. I believe that mental health, you cannot skip spiritual health. You got a lot of people that's doing good in life, but spiritually they dead. So in conclusion, man, once again, huge shout out to everybody that's tuned in. Big shout out to our supporters and sponsors, Miss Mamie Sweet Treat, All Creek Constructions, Destiny Shine Records, and of course, Kingdom Life Central. Big salute to everybody that's tapping in with us on the podcast show at thekingdomhour.podbean.com. Thank you for liking us on Facebook. Thank you for following us on IG, man. Y'all keep us lifted in prayer. Tell a friend to tell a friend about us, man. Find us on YouTube at The Kingdom Space, our show. Go ahead and give us that subscribe, And once again, if you guys have any topics that you would like for us to discuss, please give us a inbox us or reach out to us via email, thekingdomhourshow@gmail.com. Let us know, man, so we can cover this thing. And remember, this platform is to tap into natural issues as well as spiritual solutions, because you can't have one without the other, point blank, period. As long as you walk in the face of this earth, you're a natural being as well as a spiritual being. We neglect the spirit man, but feed the natural man. That's why many of us are in the conditions that we're in. So once again, thank you for tuning in. This is our time on the TKHS. Big shouts out to our guest on tonight, Kristen Davis.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Catrice Jones, for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. Until next time, peace and blessings. See you guys later. Amen.